Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Sam Edmund, I love having him here for EFS, delivering simple freight solutions with what's going on in the footy world right now. Hello to you, Sam.
Good morning to you, Jared.
Now, you've got a curious little tidbit here.
Well, it concerns the tribunal, Jared, as of last night. Now, we know all the headlines out of it were, of course, Nathan Broad's 4 weeks, Charlie Ballard getting off his one-match suspension for striking, but there was also the curious case, and we've spoken about it already this week, of Tom De Koning of the Blues and that kneeing charge that saw him fined for that incident with Reece Stanley that actually has left the Cats ruckman with rib damage, subbed out and obviously in doubt for this weekend's game against Gold Coast. Now, with you on AFL 360, Chris Scott said he'd had feedback from the AFL. We might actually, just to set the scene, just to recap, this was Chris Scott alongside you when this subject was raised with the Geelong coach earlier on this week.
We've had some good feedback from the AFL, and I think this is a bit of a trend in the game at centre bounces, and they're really clear that you can't do that. It wasn't a free kick on the night. De Koning got cited and fined. But it's like, I think everything, we're not asking, coaches do not want to design the rules. We just want to be able to feed back to our players with clarity what the rules actually are. And I think the AFL will do that. That's the feedback they've given us. I'm not really in the camp of, I don't want to see De Koning get suspended or even fined. All you want to see is behaviour change. And the AFL saying you cannot do that is much, much better than suspending players, in my opinion.
So pretty categoric from Chris Scott. Now, it was assessed as careless, medium impact and body contact. It was $3,000 down to $2,000 with an early pre. We thought that is all said and done. But lo and behold, the Blues actually tabled a written submission to the tribunal that was assessed last night and overturned. Now, Carlton argued that, in fact, it wasn't careless and it wasn't unreasonable in the circumstances and that Tom De Koning was engaging in a football action, Jared, and pointed to his eyes being on the ball at that centre bounce. So that is at complete odds with what the AFL is telling Geelong, according to Chris Scott. And we know this has been a growing trend. I mean, Mason Cox comes to mind recently, and he's not on his own there. There's been other ruckmen who have done this from time to time. Now, under the relevant rules for ruck contest, just might be worth pointing out, a player should be penalised, Jared, when they, among other things, make prohibited contact with an opposition ruck or engage in rough conduct against an opposition ruck. So a broad term, both of them. But this act or acts of similar nature would appear to fit into these two categories.
So not a free kick on the night.
Yep.
And now overturned as not being an unreasonable action. So the logic is that knee is okay in a ruck contest.
And Reece Stanley has, well, if he doesn't have cracked ribs, they're certainly bruised, and he's in significant doubt for this trip to play Gold Coast. But you're right, no free kick on the night, and now overturned at the tribunal as well, all in the aftermath of what Chris had to say with you on AFL 360. So it is a quirky series of events between the two clubs.
So if I'm a ruckman now, I'm this weekend, I feel empowered to use my knees and my feet in any way I choose.
If you're clever enough to perhaps have your eyes on the ball at the same time, then the precedence has been set, I would have thought.
I suspect this is not where the AFL wanted to find itself.
It's a curious one. Carlton just released it moments ago. I'm sure the AFL will put something out a little bit later on. But it is a curious one because we've had clubs complain about this historically as well. I think you can go back to 2020 when it was happening. And clearly, listening to Chris earlier this week beside you, it is something that they have noticed creeping into the game. They saw clarity from the AFL specifically, and they were given that clarity back the other way. And then this little sequel at the tribunal last night.
Yeah, I know there was a submission made to the AFL late last year surrounding one ruckman in particular and the use of feet and knees. And so it was very much front of mind, but that is the waters murkied.
And we've seen it with Toby Green. I mean, we've seen it in marking contests,
but
this is something totally different.
This is around the ruck.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yep. And the ball up in there. Yeah, this is not flying for a mark somewhere else on the field. This has been very specific to the ruckman.
And it was assessed initially as medium impact as well, which points to the fact that obviously Reece Stanley's got some rib issues that he's dealing with at the moment. It was fascinating listening to Alistair Nicholson earlier on today with Gary and Tim, Gerard, the ongoing and deepening levels of disenchantment among the assistant coaching fraternity, again laid bare through another AFL-CA survey. They're again arguing, Gerard, they've been left behind when it comes to the game bouncing back out of COVID. The soft cap each club must obviously abide by for equalisation reasons, and which the coaches' salaries fall under, as we know, slashed from $9.6 million in 2019 to less than $6.2 million when the pandemic hit. So it's got a $500,000 bump for this year. It'll get another $250,000 bump for next year. So it'll be $7.2 in 2024. But as Alistair says, we're told the game's in rude health, record crowds, record TV rights deal, player wages at all-time highs, and a ballooning bonuses to league executives. So the AFL-CA survey showed 42% of coaches said their mental health was average, poor, or quite poor. 33% said they would not or could not continue their current workload. So Alistair Nicholson, just a sample of him this morning, Gerard, with Gary and Tim, saying that the time had come for the coaches, assistant coaches, to be looked after.
From our point of view, we've gone away and done a lot of work with the coaches, both from surveying and getting facts, but also I think I've spoken to almost every coach in some form or another and just tried to pull together the consistent themes we're getting and some of those things you talk around workload, but then mostly around, you know, soft cap and how we're trying to attack it is go, well, now's the right time. The game needs to prioritise and coordinate how we actually look after this profession better, because they're just so critical to our whole game and we want them as healthy as possible. But we also want them coaching as well as possible.
I feel like there is a lever here. I've spoken about it in the past. Is the senior coach's wage, I believe, should be removed from the soft cap. So we have had, at a time where the senior coach has never been more important and never been more scrutinised, we have wages that have gone backwards through COVID, totally understandably, but then not restored.
Yeah.
And by comparison to league executives and by comparison to the best players in the league, our senior coaches are now, I think, substantially underpaid. It would flow between $600,000 and $1.2 million back into the soft cap to be distributed across the worker bees of the profession. And I think it would adequately reward the senior coaches in the environment and the reality that they now operate in.
And I know Damien Hardwick has made this point repeatedly over the years, and the soft cap is a real bone of contention for guys like Luke Beveridge and also up north with John Longmire as well. And so, speaking of some assistant coaches today, they say either you have no cap at all, which is probably not advisable, or if you're going to have a cap, then everyone's under the cap. So that's the AFL execs, the CEOs, and some assistant coaches wonder what, you know, why should they be the only section of staff to fall under the guillotine?
So it's being used now as an equalisation measure. I still think it can serve that purpose with the senior coach outside it. The most important money a club spends right now is on the senior coach. They should be spending more on it.
Yep. Just quickly, the SportNext conference on at Melbourne at the moment, Gerard, presentations and discussions around shaping the future of sport. Now, one of the more interesting contributions yesterday came from the News Corp Australasia Executive Chairman Michael Miller, who's also, of course, a director of Foxtel and Fox Sports. Now, Michael, when discussing the AFL, said that the league risked creating a two-speed economy, a two-tier economy, essentially citing the two newest clubs in Gold Coast and GWS, who he said had gone backwards more than a decade into their existence. So we know the league's pumping $25 million a year into each club at the moment. It's looking to start a new club out of Tasmania as well. And Michael Miller was saying that the scoreboard blowouts, or the risk of them, between the haves and the have-nots was a challenge for media companies who could see fans switch off and perhaps go elsewhere. But I'm not sure if he's on the mark here. I mean, you look at the Giants, they've played in a grand final, they've played in three prelims. The Suns have never done that, of course. But then you look at Gold Coast, and for all their troubles, they beat Sydney, Fremantle and Richmond last year. They'd only won 10-goal loss. I would have thought the AFL equalisation methods that we just discussed there when it comes to the soft cap on the field, they're as well orchestrated as they've ever been, aren't they?
I think it's harsh on the Giants. I think the Suns have to wear that because
they haven't featured.
And, you know, the fear through the first 2 weeks is that they've gone backwards. Now, hopefully they make alive that as the season goes on. But it was a provocative statement from a high-up executive at one of the key partners of the game.
We're out of time, but he made another one too around high-profile athletes becoming activists.
Yes.
And in his mind, a liability to their codes. And Kate Roffey went back to him, the Melbourne president, on that very point as well. was very interesting. So he said, you know, and Fox obviously broadcast the cricket and netball, both on Foxtel, of course. He said that sport was on an island, though, when it came to organisations just accepting their stance on corporate partners. He said if they worked in any other field, the organisation would say, well, if you don't like it, then you're out. But he said in sport, you know, it's totally different. Athletes feel they have permission to make those statements, but other organisations, he says, wouldn't accept it. If you don't want to work for that organisation, you leave and work elsewhere.
The power of the individual athlete is ignored in that. Is sport is not like every other industry.
Yeah, he says, look, their pay isn't going to suffer by the stances they make, but ultimately it's the grassroots and the pathway programs that will suffer, and athletes sometimes, in his mind, don't realise that.
A lot to chat about, Sam. Good stuff. Thanks, Sam Edmund for EFS. By air, road or rail, get your simple freight solutions delivered by EFS. Check efs.net.au.